Well, this morning, we're just going to blaze through, the 50 pages of thought that I have outlined. Oh, Gord just turned my microphone off. Yeah, thank you, Gord. I need to tell you, too, that some Sundays I forget things because I'm getting old and I get confused. But this Sunday, if I forget anything or if point four comes before point one, it's because I had some dental surgery on Friday, and I've never been on this many drugs in all my life. So between all of the sedatives and the all the other things, coherence is not my main quality today. There you have it. So, point four. No. I want to talk to you just briefly about a story that usually we don't talk about at Christmas. But I think it's really pertinent to Christmas. And let's see if we can figure out what it is as we go along. Let's read it together. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat on the floor listening to Jesus as he talked. But Martha was the jittery type and was worrying over the big dinner that she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Sir, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "Martha, dear friend, you are so upset over all these details. There is really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it from her." Well, interesting. Four little verses. And there's a challenge here. As Christ followers, I know many of us would say that we have a relationship with Jesus. I know Jesus. Yet the season that visits us, we're more like the one who says, "Let's work. Let work be your favorite thing. Let the busyness fill your life." Christmas is work, and work and is so much easier than sometimes our relationship with God and with other people. We can just busy ourselves in work. It says that Mary, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the, or Martha said she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Why was Mary able to do that when Jesus came to visit? She was able to separate the urgent from the significant. And she was able to do the significant thing. The significant thing in this case was Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Have you ever been there? You know, you get busy, 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 and you don't stop, and you don't listen. I think parents, we've all struggled with that, or if you've had, family members, we all get busy with the things that we have to do, and we don't take the time to stop and to listen, to put the tea towel down, to put the snow shovel down, to put something down so that we can spend time talking to a little one. Or, even more importantly, putting our busyness down so that we can talk to our partner, talk to a friend. Do you ever get so busy that somehow people lose their significance and what is really important are the urgent things that seem to be about? Well, we read in Matthew, "Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes." So do you spend all your time worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow? Do you worry about what's going on? I think lots of people find themselves worrying about those things. Just think about dear old Martha. I mean, she heard about this Jesus that was coming to her house. And Jesus was this prophet, this healer, this teacher, this rabbi. He had a bunch of people following him. My goodness. Think about all the busyness. I mean, we got to have enough appies ready for these guys. And so Martha busied herself about all of this stuff. You know, when you have a celebrity coming into your house, you got to get ready, or so it seems. The problem with Martha is she didn't know when the preparation stopped or needed to stop, and the time of reflecting and being present needed to begin. So one of the things we have to do is we have to replace the physical preparation of Christmas with what? The spiritual preparation. Absolutely. So what did you do to prepare yourself for a spiritual moment? You can't just create those moments. Those moments come along. And I want to give you a bit of a definition of how we need to define a moment. So that as you go through your week, it can be any time. You don't set it for 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you know, what happens if nothing happens? But, you know, life happens. And I want to suggest that it's a moment when something would happen that would enhance your relationship with God or with others around you. That can be just a standard kind of experience that you say, this is the moment that God wants me to prepare my heart this Christmas for something different. That's the essence of the story of Mary and Martha, isn't it? The essence of the story was that preparation needed to stop. Mary chose what was better, to stop and to listen to Jesus. Martha missed out the opportunity. She, just like we talked about at the beginning of the service, that moment went by and Martha forever lost that moment. That moment would never come back. And what was she doing? She was out making sure that the dishes were washed or whatever it was. And there was Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, taking the moment because it was so important. Martha missed out. Wouldn't it be cool if the two sisters, after Jesus had left, had been able to sit down and talk to each other about, so what did you think about what Jesus said? How was it for you that he talked about how we need to know God and care for God and care for others? But they couldn't do that now because Martha wasn't there. Martha was off being busy. I love that translation that she was the jittery type. You know, she was so consumed. So we have to ask the question. When you come to Christmas this year, are you one of those trash managers that we spoke about at the beginning? You know, everybody's opened their present, and before anybody even gets a chance to enjoy or begin to enjoy the gifts that they've been given, somebody's running around picking up all the paper. I hear some giggles out here. You know those people, don't you? Just think about how important it would be to sit there and to look at your partner, your brother, your sister, your child, your friend, and see the joy that's in their face because of what somebody has given them or somebody has thought about them. And I'm not saying you have to give, give, give. I mean, even write somebody a poem that's meaningful, that expresses your heart to them. And if before they get a chance to reflect on it, you're up picking up the garbage already. You've missed the moment. We need to take those moments. We need to stop. No matter what kind of clean freak you think you have to be, don't get magnetized to the kitchen sink because that's not going to do it. You know, you got all year to spend in the sink. Take your husband with you. Easy. Who said that? get the dishwasher going. A scripture that sort of talks about this in Colossians 3. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. We need to do that. We need to be people that observe what's going on. We have choices in our lives. I mean, and that's the wonderful thing in the Bible. The Bible continues to make choices and to put those things in front of us. You can be alert to what Christ is doing this coming week, if we focus on this week, about the situations he puts you in. And or you can just be focused on the stuff that you want to be focused on. You can miss the moment, or you can see what Christ is about and doing. You know, all of the things that go on around us come and go. I don't know if you've ever heard John Ortberg, and he talks about in a sermon or in a note or in a story, he talks about everything goes back in the box. You ever heard that? You know, after a game, and he was playing Monopoly with his kids, and at the end, you win all this property, but you know what? In the end, it all goes back in the box. He was talking about that in terms of Monopoly. We could talk about it in terms of life as well. We can chase after all the things that are around us. We can chase after so many things, the jittery things that Martha was worried about. But you know what? In the end, all that stuff goes back in the box. Or ultimately, you go back in the box. And that's the reality, folks. I mean, we know that. So what is the thing that's going to last? What is the thing that's going to capture us in the moment that's going to last beyond the time that we get put in the box? Wow, that's what the story of Christmas is all about. That there's one who came to have a relationship with us that doesn't end, that it all doesn't go back in the box. That's what those moments are for in life. And not just for our relationship with Christ, but our relationship with other people. Those things continue. They go on. And so I plead with you, this Christmas, take time to take that moment. There is far more here than meets the eye, we read in Matthew 6. The things we see now are here today and gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. God wants us to know what those things are about. That relationship with him. The relationships that we establish where Christ comes and dwells within us and helps us meet with other people. Well, let me press on. We need to replace our self-absorption with personal reflection. Think about dear old Martha. She wasn't so concerned about personal reflection. She was saying, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Do you think she was concerned about others right then? I think she was a bit consumed with herself. Woe is me. Look at all the work that I have to do. Oh, pity me, will you? You know, I mean, do you ever fall into that trap? Woe is me. And I can just see Jesus. You know, he loved these sisters. They were friends. And he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset by so many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary was doing it. She was building and renewing her relationship with Christ. So what are you going to do this Christmas to renew your relationship with Christ? That's a key thing for us, a key thing in our lives. You see, Jesus really wanted to give Mary and Martha a gift of reality. I mean, our TVs are filled with reality shows, but if you want the real reality, that is the gift that Jesus gives. Jesus was really bullish on reality. He wanted us to come to grips with what life is really all about. More than anything, Jesus wanted people to possess the truth. He wanted people to understand, not just fragments of story of busyness, but he wanted people to know who he was. You know what you need this Christmas? You don't need a new gift. You don't need a new toy. You don't even need a new husband. And you don't need a new wife either. You don't need new kids that listen and obey all the time. You don't need a new whatever it might be. All those little pieces of our life, if we can just get them in the right place. Have you ever done this? If I could just get all of my ducks in a row, then I'll have meaning. Then I'll have hope in life. But you know what? You don't need that. What we need is we need a new heart. I need a new heart. I can't be the kind of person and the kind of man that God wants me to be if I remain as I am today. But I have to keep changing, keep growing, keep becoming what Christ wants me to be. And so do you. If we're simply satisfied to remain as we are, being the busy people who are self-absorbed, we're not going to be better people in the kingdom of God. We're not going to accomplish what it is that Christ wants to do in and through our lives. You can't become the person that you need to be, that your family needs you to be, that your kids need you to be, that the world needs you to be by remaining the way you are today. We need to grow, and we need to allow Christ to grow in us. And we can't do that unless we're like Mary and we sit at his feet and we listen and we hear what he has to say to us. We read in Lamentations, let's take a good look at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God. Have you ever taken the moment to stop and to think about how am I living my life? Is my life satisfying to God? Is it satisfying to me? Or am I just sort of on the rat race, on the treadmill? Am I just running and pressing on? You know, David said in Psalm 139, investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I am about. See for yourself whether I have done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road of eternal life. Have you ever had an MRI? I see those hands. They're great little tools, because they show you what's on the inside that we can't see. Here David is asking God to sort of give him the spiritual MRI to say, okay, what's in my life? God, what do you see in my heart? You know, sometimes when we go to the doc and the doc says we're going to get an MRI, sometimes we worry about that because we think, oh no, what's he going to see? What's going to be in there? Just think how David felt when he said that to God and said, God, I want you to really look in my life. I want you to really look in my heart and my mind and give me a picture of what you see. The thing is, would you want your spiritual MRI right here for the rest of the crowd to share with? Probably not. Probably we would all say, oh, please, you know, let me work on it first. But you know what? God wants to work in your life. Why? Because he loves us. That's the story of Christ coming. He loves us so much. So the last point that I want to make today. We need to replace the superficial this Christmas, this week, with the supernatural. You know, we so willingly settle for another Japanese orange. We so easily settle for another trinket at Christmas. We so easily settle for another Christmassy kind of thing. And we miss out on the supernatural, that which God is providing and God is about. We choose things. And I want to suggest that our choices flow out from our convictions and our values. Our values about God. Your convictions and values form a lifestyle, and it becomes evident to other people around you. And may those things be filled with convictions about who God is. Mary has chosen what is better, and it can never be taken away from her. Do you have something this Christmas that can never be taken away from you? Jeremiah talked about this. He said, listen intently to God speaking. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight. That's what God wants us to do. To be people that take the time to stop, to capture the moment, to sit, if it means sitting for you, to take that moment. Whoops. Would you say this with me? This Christmas, I will slow. I will open up. I will not miss the moment. My prayer for each one of us this Christmas is that we will, in fact, experience the joy that only God comes because we don't miss the moment. We take the time. As our string group comes back, let's just pray together. Father, you have blessed us so richly. We thank you that you are a God who wants to take us and meet us in the quiet moments of our lives, in those quiet occasions, and you want to speak to us. And Father, we pray that we won't be so busy with the things of this world that we will miss those moments. Father, thank you that you love us so much. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.